Welcome to Groundwork, Community Radio News, brought to you by volunteers at Canada's community radio stations. This episode of Groundwire is produced by CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal, broadcasting from the traditional unceded territory of the Haudenosaunee or Mohawk Nation. I'm your host, Gretchen King. In this episode...
Now, the child welfare agencies are using Canadian law to separate Native mothers and fathers from their children, and it's genocide.
New Holcomb were forced into isolation on reserves. Children were taken away. I'm saying these things because this history is important. It is why New Hulk Radio exists today.
But first up, here are the headlines. Our first headline comes from Michael Welch of Campus Community Radio CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg, on occupied Anishinaabe territory and on the homeland of the Métis Nation. Activists participating in an ongoing occupation of the Parker wetlands in south-central Winnipeg got encouraging news on July 26, when a provincial court judge denied a request for an urgent injunction to have them removed. Lawyer Kevin Toney filed the request on behalf of the developer who is seeking to build housing on the Parker lands site. Toney argued the activists are trespassing on the private property and causing irreparable harm to the private landowner through their continued presence. Jenna Vandal is a student and a Métis woman and one of the lead organizers of the direct action, which started on Friday, July 14th.
It's been proven that we're not causing any irreparable harm here. The only irreparable harm that's being done is what Mr. Marquez is doing to the forest when he's clear-cutting it before the nesting season is even over, or giving the migratory birds a chance to use the habitat and then go down south for the summer. So the harm is being committed by him, not by us.
As disclosed in the last installment of Groundwire, the Parker lands were obtained by developer Andrew Marquez through a land swap with the city 8 years ago. Vandal argues there was never an adequate consultation with representatives of Métis and other Indigenous groups. This, to her, is unacceptable, especially considering the area's proximity to a former Métis settlement known as Roostertown.
And you know, we're in the era of reconciliation right now. Winnipeg just signed the Reconciliation Accord. There was the 2014 Supreme Court decision that has now forced Canada to take accountability and enter into negotiations for a modern-day treaty with the Métis. So these are all good, positive things, a progression that we're seeing. And, you know, Mr. Marquez can't stop that.
The cause has been bolstered in recent days by a letter from Manitoba Métis Federation published on Vandal's Facebook page. The letter expresses moral support for the protests and attests to the legitimacy of the claims to Métis title. More details about Parker Land's direct actions can be found on the website decolonize.ca. Groundwire's next headline is contributed by Jasmine Chapman from CFRC 101.9 FM in Kingston.
The City of Kingston's walk and roll active transportation plan has been in development for a while, and now the City of Kingston is seeking input on what they should implement when it comes to promoting active transportation. As we are in the summer months, such a discussion about improvements for active transportation is very important, and it is when we start being aware of the improvements that can be made. The City of Kingston has drafted networks that are to be developed in the short, medium, and long term. They are considering in boulevard trails, cycling tracks, buffered bike lanes, shares, and multi-use trails, and more. The Kingston Walk and Roll Active Transportation Plan has a goal of having 20% of all trips being made using some sort of transportation by 2020. Here I am talking with Mark from the City of Kingston, talking about this initiative.
It's a plan that's addressing active transportation needs of the community for modes of transportation, including walking, cycling, and other non-motorized modes of travel and moving with mobility devices. This is a great benefit to the city because we're going to be improving the network within the city. So we're going to have a lot more options for people to get around the city besides just vehicles. You'll be increased safety for your pedestrians and increased safety for your cyclists. So, you know, all age, gender, socioeconomic backgrounds should all be able to use the system and benefit from the system. And then, of course, you know, we want to make sure that the accessibility to everybody and that everybody can use it and feel comfortable using it and feel safe using it.
Our final headline concerns a press release issued by groups mobilizing in Ottawa and Labrador. Members of the public are rallying in Ottawa in solidarity with three currently imprisoned elders from the Labrador Land Defenders and in support of three demands against the Muskrat Falls Hydro Dam Project. The demonstrations delivered a petition with over 3,000 signatures in support of these demands. Rallies also took place in St. John's, Newfoundland, Halifax, Nova Scotia, and Happy Valley, Goose Bay, Labrador. The protesters are demanding free the three, release Indigenous protectors, shut Muskrat down. The three elders and land defenders currently imprisoned are Jim Learning, Marjorie Flowers, and Eldred Davis. As of July 31st, they have been in jail for 10 days. Eldred Davis is on a hunger strike while in prison, aligned with the threat to Labradorian traditional food sources that the Hydro Project poses. The three central demands of the Labrador land defenders, alongside freeing the prisoners, are immediate progress on the methylmercury agreement, initiate an independent review of North Spur stability, begin a public inquiry and a forensic audit of Nalcor. The Labrador land defenders are asking people to contact the Newfoundland Labrador Premier, the Canadian Prime Minister, and the Nalcor CEO in support of these demands. A petition called Free Indigenous Labrador Land Protectors, James Learning, Marjorie Flowers, and Eldred Davis is available online at change.org. That's it for headlines. Groundwire will be right back after this.
Since the new millennium, bath salt crack a posium, feeling like I'm Christian Bale equilibrium, swing side to side like a pendulum, a bonfire to the lies that we're bending on, master the art of speech without offending none of them, dumb, done a trump, endorsing them, survival of the riches while rules are spot, no panic but apocalypse, the future clock, I'm calling on the guardians and super squads, to unplug a wall because I keep the booth unlocked, check,
shut the time, pull away, be the mind and choose my fate, I don't lose sleep but I stay away.
In a ziplock, better know the big shots. Mayday, mayday, everybody's getting it. Top mirror, mirror, can you get them hearts fixed up? A nation of kids, fuck, the vision is mixed up. Make it jump like crisscross, it's bigger than hip-hop. Don't subscribe to all the hype. Facebook tweet like all the time. What is it gonna be, or what is slaves of Barbies? Let anybody on the way, you take the backseat. Chica slappy, pop a bad pill and join the armies. With scares come with hits, then Kim Kardashian. I slay MC's real, they can never catch me. I leave them walking with a inflated ass cheek. From the Vickers and Illuminati. Real money is you and me. Truth will set us free.
Concrete Jungle. Welcome back to Groundwire, your source for news from the ground up, available online at www.groundwirenews.ca and airing on your local community radio station. Now it's time for feature stories. Since Thursday, July 20th, a 24/7 vigil has been maintained in front of the INAC, Indigenous Northern Affairs Canada building in Toronto, in solidarity with families whose youth have taken their lives in the Pikangikum First Nation to pray and raise awareness. Vigil attendees erected signs in front of the building about the current situation Indigenous children and youth are facing. Since 1986, there have been 543 suicides, with 22 suicides this year alone. While $450 million is spent every year on child apprehension, only $21 million is spent on prevention, resulting in more Indigenous children in care today than at the height of the residential school system, and the highest rate of child welfare apprehension in the world. Charlie O'Connor from CKUT spoke with three Indigenous women about why they were involved, what government action they would like to see, and what message they might have for Indigenous youth in remote northern communities. Carrie Lester speaks about how the vigil at INAC got started last week, as well as her experience as one of the people who occupied the same building in April 2016 in response to the suicides at Attawapiskat. Claire Braham Silversmith speaks about her experience with the racist child welfare system and how loss of family and culture are connected with depression and suicide. Rayla Monias talks about her involvement with the Two-Spirit community in Toronto and the importance of providing youth with time to try out different dreams.
They would do things to make things uncomfortable for us, so with the lights, with the air conditioning, they would turn that off. They even turned off the ventilation, and for myself, with the ventilation turned off, after a few days of that, it made my throat and tongue so raw, I was getting, my tongue was bleeding and swollen. They also decided to not let us use the washrooms that were on that floor. Initially, we had been able to use them the first day, but by the second day, the police had arrived, and they had set up this perimeter around us and guarded off all the stairwells. And the elevators, so we couldn't use those. And so the washroom, and so we said, well, what are we going to do about going to the washroom? Do you want us to go right here on the floor? So they brought buckets in for us, and just in our in our vigil here, a passerby came by and said he had things he's worked up in Pagangigum, and he brought some buckets down for us to show passersby what washrooms look like in Pagangigum. So there's two buckets just a little ways down from us. One of them has a one of those commode type chairs over top of it. So that's, we didn't have a commode chair, but we had buckets. That's what they brought for us. They brought us two of them. Mm-hmm. And so we had to decide where we're going to put those for privacy reasons. But when they first came, I was so indignant that this is what they would do that I put it right down in front of the police who were on guard duty for us, and I was wearing my skirt, and I just, you know, lifted my skirt, sat down, and went to the washroom right in front of them, and I said, so how do you feel about this now, you guys? And they just turned away.
My experience with the child welfare system is that they are discriminatory, they are racist, they have unwritten policies to do what they call is in the best interest of the children. That logic was also used to justify the residential school system and the 60 scoop. Now, the child welfare agencies are using Canadian law to separate Native mothers and fathers from their children, and it's genocide. Under the UN definition of genocide, separating one group of children and moving them to another group is considered genocide. Now, we know historically from the residential school system in the 60 scoop, now the millennial scoop, which is now called, as an umbrella, the Indigenous Child Removal System, that we become mentally ill when we're separated from our families and communities. We become addicted, we become alcoholics, and that's to self-medicate from the trauma that we're continuously put through. So now these nations up north who are going through the suicide crisis, a lot of them have been affected by the child welfare system as well.
I am from a northern community called Abamatun, or also known as the Lake of the Reversing Water, on just north of the Albany River. And I moved from there to Thunder Bay, and I lived in Thunder Bay for half my life. Then I decided to move down to Toronto. And I've been coming to Toronto maybe 4 or 5 times before I decided to move to Toronto. And it was based on a feeling or a dream to be here. And since I've been here, I've been getting some people telling me that they felt that they've known me before. And like a deja vu experience. In places that I got involved in, with the groups, with Two-Spirit groups, and And with this group here, I like to call this group as the advocators for life and for all the ancestors, what they saw was going to take place, and it's meaningful to take part in something that has a lot of worth. And that's a little bit about myself, and yeah.
So the vigil here has some focus on 5 recent deaths, youth suicides in Baganjigam, but there have been, of course, suicides in many other communities, and it's something that has affected you in a pretty personal way.
Yes. In our own community, we've had numerous suicides and attempts. Probably some attempts that we don't even know about, but until it becomes public, we don't know half of the times what's going on in the lives of our youth.
Audible Songs from Rockwood. Welcome back to Groundwire, your source for community news, available online at www.groundwirenews.ca and airing on your local community radio station. Now it's time for our community radio report. From June 15th to 17th, Indigenous media makers converged in Ottawa from across the state of Canada to discuss the future of First Nations, Inuit, and Métis broadcasting. The 3-day gathering, hosted by Wabatek Communications Society and the University of Ottawa, aimed to discuss the state of the sector by identifying challenges and successes. The event also presented 3-hour-long forums on the CRTC Native Broadcasting Policy and the CRTC's process and rules and regulations. For this report, we will focus on the state of the Indigenous broadcasting sector. We will hear from Banshee Hanous from Newhawk Radio in BC, Monique Manach from Rapid Lake Radio in Quebec, and Mike Metatawaben from Wawate Radio in Ontario.
Kwe, yao, hello. My name is Siltslani, or Banshee Hanous, and I'm from Newhawk Territory, also referred to by some as Bellicoola, British Columbia. I'm here today on Algonquin Territory on behalf of Newhawk Radio. Newhawk Radio is a small, low-powered, commercial-free community radio station that has a license exemption order from CRTC as a native radio undertaking. In just under 1 week, Newhawk Radio will have its 3-year anniversary as we officially launched on Siyumt, summer solstice, June 21st, 2014. The concept behind Newhawk Radio began in 2013, January, during the Idle No More resistance movement, when a small group of us, New Holk people, got together to talk about what Idle No More means to New Holkham and what we need to do to move forward. The New Holk Nation considers ourselves a sovereign nation. We have long asserted our rights and our obligations to our ancestral territory. We have never ceded, never sold, surrendered, nor lost our lands through act of war or treaty. Historically, there has been no sit-down between the New Holk Nation and Canada. Canadian citizenship was, in fact, imposed on us. Prior to European contact, the New Holk Nation population within the Bella Coola Valley was approximately 10,000 people. After our lands were brutally occupied by settlers following a deliberate spread of smallpox by the colony of British Columbia, New Holk villages were devastated to approximately 200 survivors. New Holkham were forced into isolation on reserves. Children were taken away, placed into residential schools where they were severed from their families and communities, abused and disallowed from speaking their mother tongue, the New Holk language, some never to return home. I'm saying these things because this history is important. It is part of why we are here today. It is why New Holk Radio exists today. Today we have a mere 5 elder speakers remaining who we were able to work with. Our mission is to keep the New Holk language alive, to raise the prestige of the language and the fact that the New Holk language is relevant today. Our goal is to one day align with grassroots Indigenous radio stations throughout Turtle Island to form an Indigenous radio network, to share programming with the goal of helping us reawaken and re-Indigenize our people and our communities, to hold up our diverse and distinct languages, to embrace and support our ancestral cultures, and most importantly, to heal. Other radio stations raising towers and installing transmitters to broadcast their English language programming and liquid natural gas, LNG advertisements, and propaganda within New Holk territory are an unacceptable infringement on New Holk sovereignty. These stations represent the cultural imperialism of Canada in attempting to decide what New Holkham should listen to. We are in the rebuilding phase, and we thank those who have helped us along the way and are continuing to support us. We have no intention of being under Canada in the future. Instead, to be independent and truly sovereign, as that is the best way and maybe the only way for our language to continue, our lands and waters to be healthy, and for the New Holk Nation to survive.
When I came in this morning, I wasn't sure if I was going to be speaking about the right thing. Now, having listened to Banshee, I don't know what to add. My reserve is a very small community, about 350 kilometers from here. It's up in La Vérendrye Provincial Park. And if you want to see Third World so close to Ottawa, just come see Rapid Lake. They've been, they're unceded, they're unsurrendered. Again, Canadian citizenship has been imposed. As recently as 2009, Indian Affairs saw fit to remove the traditional leadership and impose an electoral system. And from what we've been told, this hasn't happened since 1924 when they surrounded the Longhouse at Six Nations. They have been struggling against clear-cutting, and now they are struggling against Copper One. Now that they've cut all the trees, they want to mine, and they want to create an open-pit mine. They have an 80-kilometer stretch of land through the heart of our territory that they want to turn into an open-pit mine. And what I don't understand is that the tailings and the pollution from that mine are going to flow right past this university and right past Parliament. And nobody seems to see that. There are several reasons why we're starting a community radio station this summer. One of the main reasons, preserving the language, absolutely, but also in case Copper One comes in, or the Sûreté de Québec come in again with tear gas and batons, there will be a communication system in place so that the people can either be warmed or they can be rounded for help. Needless to say, this community does not want a CRTC license. And yet without a license, even an exemption, there is no funding for this radio station. And that's the crux of what I want to talk about. There needs to be a place for communities such as Rapid Lake to access the type of funding for communications without the need to bring imposed federal laws into the community. There needs to be a place.
Before I begin, I was listening to my colleagues here, and I come to the realization that Wawate has been around a long time, but at the same time, Wawate is in the we're in an area now where we have to take our job seriously. For far too long, we've taken it for granted. Only because I would say 95% of the communities, 95% of the population, they still speak the language. We do live in a remote area. We do have different challenges, but language is one of our strongest attributes. We still have a strong population who speak the language, and I hope we can help you in some way. Well, we can do it together, but we also we should seize the opportunity now. The timing is right now. The announcements that were made this morning by Minister Jolie and the announcements that were made earlier by Prime Minister about the language. With everything going on, like the Truth and Reconciliation, I think it is a good time. It is an opportune time to roll up our sleeves and let's sit around and talk amongst each other. Let's do this together. We can't do it alone. But if we can unite together, everybody that uses the language, promotes the language, would like to enhance the language use. Let's put it all together, and that way we can move things forward on a united front and also on a more organized front.
That audio was from the opening panel of the Future of First Nations, Inuit, and Métis Broadcasting National Gathering at the University of Ottawa. The conference proceedings are archived online at indigenousradio.ca. That's it for this edition of Groundwire, produced at CKUT Radio on unceded Mohawk territory in Montreal. I have been your host, Gretchen King. Music this week was by Miriam Sachi and Fiverr. Headlines for this episode were written by Michael Welch, Jasmine Chapman, and Gretchen King. We thank all of our contributors. Tune in again to hear Groundwire on your local community radio station or download online at groundwirenews.ca.